Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio, and we are back in studio with you again. Minister Copeland and I are always delighted to sit with you and share Jesus with you through the scriptures. And we are in for another wonderful treat, another wonderful treat. So I just pray that you have come ready, willing and able, thirsty, hungry for the Lord, that you will continue to grow and go in grace. I tell you, it's a benefit when the brothers and sisters, the children of God, come together in the newness of life, meaning our born-again life, and come together to meet one another, banquet, meaning the food of God, the richness of God's word, that we receive the good manna, the manna that comes from his word. So I pray that you have received good nourishment, spiritual nourishment, spiritual nourishment for the soul. We are still in the teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship. Now, as we've said, Bible study after Bible study, our focus is on God's nature. And we know, as Minister Harold Copeland has said, his nature, true nature, is love, agape love. And this is what we want to show through ourselves as well. And this is what Scripture teaches us, agape love from God. Now, when we possess his nature, and we do possess his nature, the nature of God is possessed in every born-again believer. And how is that? By the way of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when acceptance of Jesus Christ by faith is exercised and saved, we are saved by God's amazing grace, is when the Holy Spirit instantly enters into the heart of man. Into the heart of man, you and I, and resides within us. God himself fills you with himself. He fills us with himself. Minister Copeland and I give each person an opportunity to come to the throne of God at the feet of Jesus and give our hearts to Christ. Give our hearts to Christ. And we do this every broadcast, that God would fill you with himself. It's a amazing, divine blessing of God that he instantly comes in to our heart and resides. He lives within us. I like the way that sounds. God himself fills you and me with himself. So I pray that you, as a new creature who possesses a new nature that is referred to in Scripture as the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, don't get it misunderstood. You possess all of these fruit, all of this nature of God, but they may not be all worked in you to its full potential that it would be worked through you, meaning out of you. So we possess the nature of God that it would be worked in you, shaped and molded, and then it would come through you for others to experience God himself because of what has come through you. And I hope that's not too challenging for you to understand how this works in and through the body of Christ. Scripture tells us in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 25, it says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's Galatians 5, 2, and 25. So, Minister Harold will be with us shortly, but I want us to look a little deeper into the fruit of the Spirit. Now, as I indicated, we possess the very nature, but the first one, according to Galatians 5:22, is love. Love. Now, Minister Copeland has shared with us lesson after lesson that the true nature of God is agape love, unconditional love of God, the kind of love that chastens, the kind of love that convicts, the kind of love that graces his graciousness upon people, his kind of love that holds your life together, even when it doesn't seem or feel even as though it is together, a kind of love that loves beyond what we see, what we think, and even what we do. This agape love that God has for me and you is a love that we have to learn over time, over our growth with our new nature. A love that is not selfish, a love that is not me, myself, and I, self-centered, self-absorbed. Scripture tells us that we are to love God first with our whole being, our whole person, our whole self, meaning love God first with all of our heart, soul, mind, even our strength. We are to love him first. And when we love him first, we start putting him first as we continue to grow and go in grace. And even in the midst of our sinfulness, his love still covers us. It continues to provide for us in the times of uncertainties, in the times of danger, in the time of worriedness, uncertainty, worry, doubt. God's love continues to provide for us, undergird us, continue to submerge us. And sometimes God's love is so big, it's so unmeasurable that it even overwhelms us in emotion because we are so undeserving of his love, undeserving of his grace and his mercy. But God can do exceedingly, abundantly above all we can think, we can ask. He can do it all because of his sovereignty, his sovereign control. He is God Almighty. He is omniscient and he is omnipotent. He is a mighty God that you can place your complete life in his hands. You can do this. And we serve a God who is the creator of the world. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let science misconstrue things in your mind. God created the world. He created man in his image. Minister Copeland has shared this with us through scriptures in Genesis all the way through the New Covenant, New Testament. And we continue to see God's amazing hand. So we want to continue to reflect, know without a shadow of a doubt, that the fruit of the Spirit, when we accept salvation, when we come to know Jesus in our new nature. So let's look at love. Love seeks the highest good of others. Love seeks the highest good of others. When we love God first, put him first in our heart, then as we grow in grace, discipled by his word, and we seek his face through prayer and Bible study, personal time alone with him, we grow in his amazing grace. And when this is done, group or individually, in your own personal study time, with others, your love, his love, walk hand in hand to seek the highest good for others. Love is not based on our emotions or feelings. It's not based on our emotions or feelings, not agape love. And this is the type of love that God has for us, agape, unconditional love. Not based on our emotions or feelings, it is a decision to be committed to the well-being of others without any conditions or circumstances. Think about that, my brothers and sisters. It's a decision that we make to be committed to the well-being of others. So God decided that his love is committed to his children, to his people. He has committed himself to us. He says in his scriptures, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. He says, I will never leave you. Now, can some of your close friends, or can a spouse, or can a child say that to you? They say it, but can they really do it? Now remember, love is not based on our emotions or feelings. Love is a decision. It's an action word. You've decided to take action and committed to the well-being of others without any conditions or circumstances. So that means I love you even if you don't love me. That's how that is understood. When we love others as we love ourselves, remember the first commandment is to love God first with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, some may say, I don't love myself. Well, you may not love yourself in the way that Scripture tells us to love ourselves. But again, it's not based on your emotions or how you're feeling that day. It's based on the fact that we are to get up because he blessed us with the very air in our lungs to breathe, to get up for that day and care for ourselves in the way that we have been trained and taught by the love of our parents, meaning we are to get up and care for ourselves by way of hygiene, brush our teeth, comb our hair, put on an outfit, and we may set out for our day, whether it be young people going to school, going to college, or going to work. We love ourselves enough to want to get up and tend to ourselves, handling the affairs of our day. So it is a type of love that is committed to yourself, handling yourself, caring for yourself, making sure you go to the doctor, tending to something that may be in pain within you. So you may not feel as though you love yourself, but it's not based on that. Minister Copeland said on last week's broadcast that in the Old Covenant, Old Testament, based on the law, Ten Commandments, that God dealt harshly with own. And that's the way it may seem to us when we read Scripture today. In your Old Testament study, when we looked at some of the passages that Minister Copeland brought to light, especially in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 21, verses 1 through 24. We read through those in scripture, and if you didn't listen to that particular broadcast, I encourage you to go back and listen to the broadcast prior so that you can get a understanding of the word or God's actions, love, according to harshly. Now, that's what it seems as though. And maybe back in that time in error, it may have even felt like it to them, them being the Jews, them being his chosen ones as the example to the world that they were set apart to show, live, pray, talk as followers of the one true God, Yahweh God. He chose them to be the example to the rest of the world for them to express, exalt him, cry out to him, glorify him in spirit and in truth. And he had to deal with their sinful nature, just as he still does today. Nothing has changed with God, but he had to deal with the nature of man in a fallen state. Minister Copeland shared that with us in that passage in 1 Kings 21, verses 1 through 24, concerning Ahab and Jezebel. Read the story. Read the passages. And he was one of the most wickedest kings of Israel. And God dealt with them, him and his wife. And it would, you would think, as reading through it, maybe for the first time, you would think that God didn't love them because of the way he dealt with the sin within them and amongst them. So think about that. Maybe you've experienced a consequence of your actions when you made a wrong decision or you did something that you knew was not what you were supposed to be doing. Now, I don't know what it is, but you do, and the Holy Spirit may reveal or bring that to your remembrance once or twice or once in a while. You may have said something some sort of a way that was not loving toward that individual. Now, if we keep it personal, it might be your spouse. It might be one of your children. It could be someone in your workplace. But when we are his children, then the Holy Spirit is doing his work within us to reveal to us what, how, when we are to demonstrate or exercise the love of God. And he will chasten us or chastise us in the sense of bringing about correction, obedience, yielding the Holy Spirit who lives within inside of us, the very one we serve, God himself. Remember in the intro, I indicated that God himself fills us with himself. Now this is God and God alone. He breathed the breath of life in Adam. He did that. He placed himself with inside of him. He created us with a body. He created Adam from the dust of the ground and fashioned and formed his body, but he gave and created him with a soul being a mind to think, a will to choose, and emotions or feelings, and the conscience. He created him with a spirit, a human spirit. And that spirit is usually recognized in Scripture as a lowercase spirit, lowercase. That's significant in Scripture. So man was created with a body, the outer, exterior, as Minister Copeland calls it, his earth suit. The five senses. And he fashioned man from the dust of the earth, but he created him with a soul and a lowercase spirit, lowercase spirit, human spirit. And that is where in the human spirit, or with the human spirit, the Holy Spirit and our human spirit become one. They commingle together, a marriage made in heaven. The two become one. You're born again nature, where the Holy Spirit resides to shape you, mold you, form you as God being the potter, and we are his clay. That the fruit within us would come through us. Now, why am I focusing on this for an important period of time? Because I don't want the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters, to misunderstand how God, in his wondrous love, created us, man, that we were created in his love for his glorification, for him to be glorified, for us to glorify him back, that we exalt him, that we love him first, because he is a God who is a jealous God. And he said in his scriptures, in the word of God, that there should not be any other gods before him. Now, what does that tell you? He is to be first place in our hearts. This is his true nature. So when we commit ourselves to love him first, it should not be challenging, but it is from time to time, because all of the temptations and distractions in the world today, it's easy to fall away from prayer time with God, to God. It's easy to drift away. It's easy to be in front of a TV that robs us of most of our time after we have come home from work or done the responsibilities of taking care of home. If you're a homemaker with the children, or even just taking care of the necessary things that need to be handled during that particular time. And we come home or we slow down and we plop down to watch TV. That is a thief. It robs us, and it can become so routine for us that we start drifting and falling away from what is necessary more than the TV. And it doesn't have to be TV, but it's a stronghold on us in today's times. It could be social media that robs us of that time that we need. It's necessary for us to spend with God and God alone. From the distractions, some may have a prayer closet. Some may have that time when we're in the car driving and it's just you and God and you can hear him. From all of the hustle and bustle of life, and you set away time at lunch on the job to just steal away with him, is the importance of our time spent with God. It's necessary for our spiritual growth. It's necessary for us to become mature in our relationship with him and understanding of his word. Why? Because the very God who lives within us should be Lord over our life. Remember, he's the potter. We are his clay. And so he should be Lord over our lives, and through the Holy Spirit regulating our heart to do what? Love. Loving him first. Loving yourself and your neighbor, others. It's not how you feel. It's not an emotional high or low. It's a decision. Regardless of how I feel, that's the decision. Regardless of how I feel, I am committed to the well-being of others without looking for anything back, without expecting anything in return. No conditions attached. It's all about him, capital H-I-M. God and God alone. If we as brothers and sisters in Christ can get one thing in our spiritual growth, that is to love God first and love others. If we can get that love, agape, down packed in our understanding of God, his true nature, in our life, if we live in the Spirit, we are to walk in the Spirit. And of course, the Spirit of God is love, walking on 2 feet in the humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus, love, walking on 2 feet is the way I like to express it. He showed love. He exemplified love. How do we know that? Because in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son." And we know that to be Jesus Christ. that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Very familiar scripture. Most of us may even have it memorized, and you should, because it's a scripture that exemplifies what Jesus did on the cross for you and me. It exemplifies the love of God before the foundations of the earth. God loved you. Yes, he did. He loved you. Even when the world doesn't love you, even if the very person in your household shuns you, dismisses you, or doesn't give you any attention whatsoever. You may not have anybody in the house. You may be lonely, single. And loneliness can bring about a downward spiral leading to depression, stressing you out, worry, unbelievable. But God says, I am with you always. He is with us always. Why? Because he says he loves you. God loves you unconditionally. God loved you before. He fashioned you in the womb of your mother. God says, I created you beautifully. I've given you the color of skin and the pigmentation of your skin and the features of your face and the texture of your hair. I loved you when I fashioned you from the DNA of your father, from the DNA of your mother, fashioned you just the way I wanted you, so that you would love me back as I love you, and I want to use you, that others will come to me through your testimony, through your life. This is love. He has blessed you richly. Point of loving you deeply. Remember, it's not based on your emotions. It's not based on your feelings. It's not based on what's happening around you today. This kind of love is foreign to man in a sin-sick world or a fallen world. So, according to John 3:16, it's written, God loved you and gave his son for you, that whoever believes in him, that's you, my brother, that's you, my sister, you will not perish. You will not perish. Perish meaning that when you die and lay this body down, that you will saved. You will be saved eternally. Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Some translations may say he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's not may have eternal life. You will have eternal life. That's a promise that we can bank on. We could take that to the bank. So listen to what John 15:9 says and walk with me through scripture. This is John 15, verse 9. And it reads this way. Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in my love. You can easily drift away from God. Because remember, he is love walking on 2 feet in his humanity through Christ Jesus, the Messiah. He walked on this earth. He preached to many a thousand. He fed them. He ate with them. He prayed for them. He died for them. Now that's the God we serve. That is the God we glorify. That is the God that we praise and worship him. He has healed you on the inside out. No matter what it looks like, no matter how you feel, the promise says, scripture says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Let's go to verse 14. I'm sorry, chapter 15. Let's go down to verse 12 through 14. Verse 12, and we'll jump down to John chapter 15, and we'll jump down to verse 12, and it reads this way. Now, I'm going to read this in the a different translation, so follow along with me, and I'll read it in the Amplified translation, just one of the translations I enjoy studying God's word and just looking at it in a little deeper way. And I just believe that having different translations in your Bible study resources is a good thing. It's a positive thing. It's a healthy thing to have that because, again, it's the Holy Spirit within us. God himself within us revealing the truths according to scripture, revealing what we need to know in order to live in the spirit, walk in the spirit, and know that we know that we know. Minister Copeland loves to say in our Noah, knowing him intimately, knowing him with all passion in our heart and a hunger and a thirst, as David put in the Psalms. Like a deer panting for water, he thirsts after God. He's the manna that came from heaven when they were in the wilderness. He fed them manna. That is what the word of God is to our soul. And that old soul of ours was sin-sick. Sin, S-I-N, sick, S-I-C-K. And I say was because now, you, me, we don't run to sin. We run from sin. Now, that's what the new nature should be doing. And I encourage you, my brother and sister, if you are not living
a life that demonstrates, exemplifies, shows that you are set apart from the world in that mindset. Be not conformed to the ways of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. Being transformed by the mind, it's renewed with a new nature, a nature of love, a nature of God's amazing love. This is what we're talking about today. This is his agape love for us as we demonstrate this toward others, him, ourselves, and others. So we are in John 15, and let's read together, starting at verse 12. Keep in mind, I'm in a little different translation, the Amplified translation, but follow along. This is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. No one has greater love nor stronger commitment. There's that word in this translation, commitment, than to lay down his own life for his friends. Verse 14, you are my friends if you keep on doing what I command you. Amen. Amen. Let me reread that for the benefit of it sticking in your mind, that it would filter down into your heart, that the source of your heart, being the Holy Spirit, will ignite your soul. Remember, I indicated that we have a soul. Minister Copeland, I love it. He would always say that our earth suit, the body, holds the soul, which is a mind to think, a will to choose, and our emotions or feelings. And we have a conscience. Shape and mold us on the inside, on how each component is triggered like a cog, C-O-G, like a cog or a device that has a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And a cog is similar or is something to that nature. And when it turns, it triggers the other piece to turn. So if the center piece of that cog is turning in a direction, then the other outer piece will turn in that same direction. So they're working harmoniously together. The Holy Spirit is shaping us to the point to where we will look like Christ, because he is within us by way of the Holy Spirit. And when those turn moments or the turning of that happens, then it will trigger our mind to think, our will to choose, and our emotions or our feelings of joy. Joy, unspeakable joy. Joy, which happens to be another asset of ours or possession of ours within by way of the Holy Spirit. And when we are going through a circumstance or when we're in a valley or a storm, if you will, or we're going through some struggles in our life, those are moments of joy. How can I be joyful when I'm sad? Pray and ask God for his exceeding joy come through you, because it can be done. And so he says in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love. It's a commandment. Remember, to love him first. He commands us to love him first, that he is first in our heart, first in our mind, first in our life, first before your husband, your wife, first before your children, first before your status, your entrepreneurial mindset, first in your business, in your finances, in how you handle your finances, first by giving your first fruit, the storehouse, the church, first in how you treat others. He should be first in our thinking, which will trigger your will to choose, which will trigger, like that cog, your emotions. That's that joy. That even in a moment of sadness, even in a moment of loneliness, even in a moment of uncertainty, his love, and from his love, you experience his joy, and that joy will come through for others to see. And I have to share this story that could not understand how I still had joy, even though I had my personal checkbook, bank account violated by some unknown person who took advantage of my funds in that account. And that may have happened to you once in your life, or maybe not, but where someone has stolen something from you. And you did not know at the time how quickly it would be replaced, how to even go about getting it replaced. You may need the help of others sharing with you, do this, do that. But when it first sets on your mind, it triggers anger because someone stole from you. And when you have finances, money stolen from you, it just seems to pack a little harder punch in your gut. And so your mind starts going into these thoughts of, how am I going to get through this? How am I going to replace it and get the money back into the account when things come out of our account nowadays automatically? A lot of us pay our bills through automatic draft out of our accounts nowadays, especially with technology in the way that it is. And again, when this has hit you so hard that you are practically devastated, if not actually devastated, because I can't pay my rent, or I can't make my car note payment, or maybe I can't even pay the daycare because monies have been stolen from me. So I made a mad dash to the bank, and of course it's on a day when the bank was closed. And so the next thing was to call the bank and talk with someone about closing my account and how do I go about getting my money replaced. Went as far as stealing my identity. So all of this dominoes, and how come God, the amazing Father we serve as brothers and sisters in Christ, why did he allow, show me, speak to me about remaining in self-control? That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Remaining self-controlled and exercising joy. Why? It's because of the love that he has for me and my faith in a God who knows all, sees all, has all, and can do all. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing, all-present in the Spirit. He will lead us. My mentor, who I studied up under as I was growing spiritually, his name was Pastor Michael Crowe. And he's gone on home to glory, hallelujah, and he would always disciple me by saying these words, and they resonate with me still today, and I find myself sharing them with other brothers and sisters in Christ. And he said to me, walk where he leads and eat where he feeds. And I didn't understand that in the beginning, but over time, and as I heard him use it, preach with it, and teach with it, the Holy Spirit revealed to me that I am to walk where God leads me and eat where he feeds me. That's what he did with the Israelites out of Egypt. He took them out of bondage by way of Moses, led them across the Red Sea into the wilderness, and he dropped food from heaven, and he literally fed them. Walk where he leads, eat where he feeds. So by way of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, he led me to exemplify joy and love for him, and he gave me a peace, another one of the fruit, and self-control, to where I would not worry about how it was going to be replaced, that I would not worry about those who automatically draft out of my account. If I stayed within the will of the, in the middle of the wheel, that cog, he submerges us like a mother bird, nurturing and loving her little chicks. He will hide us under the shadow of his wing. We will get through the valley as we walk through the shadow of death. He is our shepherd who hung, bled, and died on the cross for you and for me. He paid the price for the sins of the world. Remember, we read that in John 3:16. And according to John 15, verse 9, and I'll reread that. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me, Jesus says. Remain in my love. And the Amplified translation goes on to say, and do not doubt my love for you. Do not doubt his love for us. If you keep my commandments and obey my teaching, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And we jump down to verse 12 in John 15, and I reread for the purpose of reiterating what he wants us to understand through his word, the very food for the soul. This is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly, meaning you're not self-centered. I'm not stuck on why, how, all about me. We are to seek the best for one another, just as I have loved you. So we are to give our best to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to undergird them, walk alongside them, disciple them, mentor them, encourage them, love on them. And we are to love those who may not be in the family of faith. He goes on to say that we are to love our enemies. No one has greater love nor stronger commitment than to lay down his life, his own life, for his friends. You are my friends, Jesus says to us in verse 14. You are my friends if you keep on doing what I command you. Keep on doing it. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, my brothers and sisters, we will continue with this teaching series under the umbrella of discipleship, focusing on agape love as the very nature of God, his true nature. True nature being love. Jesus exemplified that when he walked in his humanity, but in his divinity, he is all God. God stepped down from the throne of heaven, came through a virgin named Mary, and fashioned himself in the womb of a virgin. And when he was born in a manger, he grew and loved walking in his ministry for others, focusing on himself. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, crying out to the Father, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but thine will be done, is what Jesus cried out to the Father. He knew what he had come to do. On that old rugged cross, he redeemed man, that we could come to God in the best way we know how, as humbly as we know how. And this is an opportunity right now for us to stop, drop, and pray that someone who's listening to this broadcast today may come to know him in newness of life, that we extend Christ to you. So we want to pray with you as you give your heart to Christ. Surrender it all to him. This is his day that he created just for you, you, my brother, you, my sister, to come to know him in the pardoning of your sin. This is a time that we gather together, that you will pray to him so that you will be saved. So let's pray. Now, my brothers and sisters, as I always say, lift up that one in your circle of influence that they will come to know Christ also. There's power in prayer. There's power in continual prayer, effectual, fervent prayer that we show we don't give up. We go into the trenches in prayer, and we lift them up to the Father as intimate as we know how, and we, by faith, allow God to do the rest. There are those who plant. There are those who water. But God, he brings the increase, him and him alone. So let's pray. Now, for you who may not know him, in your heart, as humble as you know how, as we go to the feet of Jesus, and let's pray a simple prayer to the Father. Now, it's my words, but your heart, my brother, my sister. So don't try to fool him half-heartedly. Come with a whole heart to the Lord God. So we will pray now. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I know that you died on the cross for me. For I am a sinner needing a Savior. Save me. Lord, I come with nothing other than a heart of willingness to surrender to you. I give it all to you. I give my whole life to you. I said some things I know that I was wrong. My imagination takes me in places that I know is sinful and detestable to you. Lord, in my actions, they just do not show love as I've heard today. But I know that you loved me first because your word said it. You have been knocking on my door of my heart, and I've ignored you, and I'm tired. I'm tired, Lord God, of ignoring you. You set me free. I should have been dead when you saved me and you snatched me out of places where I should not have been. You've healed my body, Lord God. You've given me life. Thank you. So, Lord, forgive me. I believe by faith that Jesus died and you saved me with your amazing grace, Lord God, and I thank you. For I know my sins are forgiven because you loved me first. Thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. My brother, my sister, as you rise up, and you are now a new creature saved by God's amazing grace. We encourage you, hallelujah, we encourage you to seek out a Bible teaching church one in your community, or one online that a brother or sister has shared with you to attend. Seek them out and ask them to be baptized by submersion of water, that you would grow and go. When you rise up, you have let the whole world know that you are a Christ follower. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we encourage you to seek out a small group Bible study, maybe in your community or on Zoom, whatever it takes for you to continue to hunger and thirst for the Lord's word and grow in his grace, maybe a Sunday school class, and continue to listen to Mission from the Heart Radio. Because God is working all things out for your good. Why? Because he loves you and you love him. Hallelujah. So remember, times may be challenging, and now that you are a child of light and you are in the household of faith, Satan is going to be mad. And he may try to discourage you or set doubt in your mind. Remember what the word of God says. Jesus loves you as the Father has loved him. So have I, Jesus says, loved you. Remember, he's your friend. He calls you friend. You are a friend to Christ. He died for you. He laid his life down for you. So don't be deceived by the enemies or by the enemy or the tactics of the enemy. Hold fast to God's unchanging hand. Stay close to the fire of his word and allow the Holy Spirit, who now is within you and you have been filled. He resides in your heart. Allow him to shape and mold you in newness of life. Always remember, my brothers and sisters, as we continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in a sin-sick world, in these closing days of grace, always remember that the grass wither and the flowers, oh, they fade season after season. But you can rest assured that the word of God will remain forever and ever and ever. God bless you, my brothers and sisters, and continue to stay faithful to our God, Yahweh. God bless you.